Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Bless you. Thank you so much. Let me just start by saying it's such an honor and a privilege for us to be here amongst our real friends. We have great friends here at Crawley. And it's great to be part of a ministry which is bigger than you and I. You know, everything about serving God is something about how great is our God and how he uses anyone who's available to be useful to his kingdom's purposes. So I'm going to have to move away because you're going to need to look at the screen quite a lot this morning, at least at the beginning. Because yes, as we've just been reminded of our call in life, you know, let me just read, I won't even read the scripture, but there's a great scripture at the beginning of Acts. You know, Acts is such a wonderful role model for the church today, or how the church should be today. And it says, you shall receive power. Just turn to your neighbor and say, you shall receive power today. Amen. You shall receive power when the Spirit, Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is what we've come here really, because I love your pastor. I mean, you are such a, I love your previous pastor. They were amazing men and women. They are amazing men and women of God. And likewise now. I recognize in Pastor Victor that he's a pastor, but he's really an apostle, because he's part of an apostolic ministry. Kingdom Faith is an apostolic ministry. And it's so important for you to understand that. He's a pioneer. And whatever is on the leader of the group of churches and the leader of this church, you come under that same anointing, authority, protection. So it's really such a privilege to not only to know you. I mean, the thing is, I know and I've known the couple for a while before they even became pastors here. I knew of his ministry before. But the thing I noticed more than anything else was his servant heart. This man had a ministry in many nations, going out and teaching in Bible schools in USA, in Africa, around the world. And yet he'd come to our Sunday services and he'd be behind the camera just serving. And that is why God chooses men like him, like Lionel, like the rest of you. If you have a heart to serve, God is going to use you mightily. And that's something about being part of the church here. It is, I see it when I walked in. There's a people who want to serve the Lord first, but want to serve one another. So that's what this whole, we are today here, because as you were reminded, or I was reminded, we are kind of the directors of all the overseas works, in the missions work in Kingdom Faith churches. So when you give your tithe and when you give your offerings to the church, around about a tenth of the tithe, 10% of the tithe of the tithe goes out to all the overseas workers. So I want to open with the scripture, and then we're going to change to the second. Let me be before that. I was reminded also, we have these tickets for the movies. Now, next Saturday is our outreach here in Crawley, so we need more of these, because we can invite people in the streets to come. So if you've got a box full, we'll give them out. I mean, we do this every last Saturday of the month. We bring a team from Horsham and we join with a great team from here. We go into Queen Square and then we just move around the whole of Crawley Centre on a shopping day, which is kind of chaotic sometimes. And I'm a little bit like our speaker on Alpha. I don't love shopping much, but I'd rather sit in a coffee shop while others do the shopping. But it's such an opportunity to share the gospel with people, give them a tract, but more than anything, now we can invite them to come and join here for the next four Sundays to be part of this church at the movies. So give us a few of these and we will take them with us. Very important thing that you continue. Any of you who would like to join us, we meet at 12 o'clock at Queen Square. I know that there's a group of you from the church here who pray here for an hour or so before that. But then we all gather together in Queen Square, pray together in Queen Square. And then we go out, we talk to people, we tell them that this church exists, what it stands for, and how important it is to be part of God's plan in these end times. But yeah, today we're talking about the bigger picture. So maybe we can have number two slide on there. I need to move to one side, I guess. Now, whenever I see this, this is the globe match, picture of the whole globe. This is what you represent. Because every one of these nations you see, we have got an overseas worker in those nations. In fact, it probably needs updating because we've probably got one or two add-ons from this one from when it was first created. But it's something like, I believe Connie will know the exact figures, but I think we've got 17 different overseas missionaries in 19 different nations at the moment, serving the Lord and being ambassadors for the kingdom of God. So, you know, the scripture I love, I mean, people accuse me of being an evangelist. I don't believe I am, but I do believe in the Great Commission. And that was very clear. The Great Commission is for all who believe. I mean, even this week, we were talking to some people in our own church, and they were saying, oh, I'm so glad that we have Alistair because he goes out and does the evangelism. I said, well, I'm not an evangelist. I just obey the word of God, which is to go out and make disciples and go out and talk and share the scriptures. So if you have your Bibles, look at Romans chapter 10. I'm just going to read the three scriptures and then we continue from there. From verse 13, 14, and 15. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whoever, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. See, this is a picture that kind of sums up what an apostolic ministry is all about. Because an apostolic ministry doesn't only care for its own church, its own parishioners, if you want to call them that, congregation, but it has a heart to pioneer into other nations. So the anointing that is on an apostle, and Pastor Colin Urquhart, he was definitely an apostle. A lot of you might have known him in the days of the Bible school. It's been passed on to the next generation, from generation to generation. Pastor Clive carries the same mantle, and certainly your pastor, Pastor Victor, he carries that mantle of an apostle. The great thing about an apostle, it's like the thumb on the finger, on your hand. It can touch every other ministry of the fivefold ministry. So you operate in all of it. So he's a fantastic teacher. He's a great pastor. He's an evangelist. He's a pastoral heart. He's works in the prophet. I don't think he'd call himself a prophet, as I wouldn't. But the prophetic edge comes through in certain times. And that is such a blessing for any church. Even here in Crawley, this church has all that going on, and everything that he carries comes upon you. When you're out and you need to walk in any of those parts of ministry, when you need to spend time sharing with somebody, the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because that truth from Acts 1 verse 8 is true for us. You know, I think sometimes when we read that scripture, we think of it as a New Testament church thing for the book of Acts, and it happened once. But if you read through the book of Acts, it happened over and over and over again, because the Holy Spirit wants to pour out his anointing on us daily, not weekly when we meet on Sundays, not when we have an outreach in Crawley or in Horsham or anywhere else, but every day. You and I are called to be witnesses, even in your own family. In your family. You know, you might be in a very Christian family. Your wife may, I'm a husband, so my wife would be Christian. My kids would be Christian. And yet, you need to be a witness to one another, to encourage one another to just step out of the boat a little bit further. So, you know, being a witness for the Lord, you need that anointing of his Holy Spirit daily. So that's what it's all about. So today we're going to feature, we could have featured so many of those. In fact, we were talking about the big church festival, which is coming up at the end of August. We're going to have the Bosnia team over, because they run a ministry with youth out there. They're training them in music, and they're coming over to be part of that festival. So it'll be a great time for you to actually meet up and talk with them, encourage them, but also hear about what's going on in Bosnia. But today we're going to really focus on North Cyprus, because we have two lots of workers in Cyprus. North Cyprus, we have Debbie and Steve, who are actually in the country at the moment. They're going around meeting up with their family, members and friends and supporters all around the country. They were with us last week for 4 or 5 days, and now they're traveling. And in the south, we have a team, Tom and Joanna, who are a young couple. They're both young couples, but they're serving the Lord and obeying him in everything that they're asked to do. A little bit about the history of Cyprus. I don't know. How many of people have ever been to Cyprus on a holiday? Has anyone ever been? Yeah. There's a few of you. It's a great place to go on holiday. But it's even a greater place to go on a mission. And, you know, I really recommend if you're going to somewhere like that, try and find out what's going on in the Christian world. And even if you just go and encourage the workers out there for a half an hour, whatever it is, just go and speak the word of the Lord in their lives, encourage them in what they're doing, and then enjoy your holiday, of course. So let's, the history of Northern, the whole of Cyprus, it was and it is an island. And back in the 1960s, I think early 60s, it came out of the British sort of rule. And in 1974, it was kind of separated between the Greek Cypriots and the Turkish Cypriots. And then in 1974, Turkey invaded and attacked the land. And then there was a major outbreak of a war. And now the land is separated. There's a border, there's a line of border, which is quite large, like a valley, which separates the north, which is Islamic under Turkish rule, and the south, which is more Christian under Greek Cypriot rule. And the main church, the main accepted church in the south would be probably Greek Orthodox, but there's a lot of great work going on. And in the north, it's still very, very strongly controlled by Turkey. And therefore, it's difficult for Christians to survive. But this family, we're going to watch the little clip that we've got here. It's about 3 minutes long. They are amazing. Young parents. They have children. They have three children, a pair of twins, who are aged 4 and another child aged 1. And yet they're out there on the front line. So let's watch the video clip and then I'll come back.
Cyprus is an island in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Turkey. It's located at the crossroads of Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. It is both diverse and divided. The bottom two-thirds of the island are under the control of the Republic of Cyprus, which is majority Greek-speaking and a member of the European Union. The top one-third of the island is under the control of the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, which is Turkish-speaking and only recognized by Turkey. This is where we live. We serve in one of the very few Turkish-speaking churches on the island. There are only a few dozen Turkish Cypriot believers in the north, and Christianity is seen as fundamentally incompatible with Turkishness and Turkish identity.
But the island has a rich Christian heritage. Barnabas was from here and is buried here. And Paul and Barnabas's first missionary journey, their very first stop, was here in Cyprus at Salamis, which is just down the road from where we live. And throughout Cyprus's complex history, as different empires fought for control over this small island, the church has endured. Our small church reflects some of the diversity of the island. We have three different congregations that worship in three different languages, Turkish, Russian, and English. North Cyprus is home to tens of thousands of international students, mainly from Africa and the Middle East, including many countries that are typically closed off or hostile to Christianity. There is a lot of openness among the students, and God is doing great things in their midst.
We also take seriously Jesus' command to love our neighbors. That includes our Greek Cypriot friends, whether they be Orthodox or Protestant. It includes our Iranian neighbors, our Pakistani delivery drivers, the Nigerian international students on the island. It includes Turkish Cypriot friends whose families have been here for generations, as well as Turks and Kurds who've come from mainland Turkey after the devastation of their most recent earthquakes and are trying to start a new life here.
One way that we try to practically show love to our neighbours is through our food bank. On Monday afternoons, we invite people in need to come and get a box of food staples and secondhand clothing. We also make a big pot of soup, and we have chances to listen to people's stories as we share a meal together.
We also want to help others learn to do ministry effectively. So with that goal in mind, we help lead the Exile Ministry Training Program. Exile is a 3-month long intensive training program where our students live together in community, and we have daily and weekly rhythms of prayer, Bible study, teaching, cooking, coffee training, and opportunities for practical ministry. We often say that if someone isn't willing to scrub toilets, they shouldn't be preaching. So we teach people how to preach. And we give them plenty of opportunities to scrub toilets. Our emphasis is on character formation. That, you know, knowledge is important. It's important to learn that we need to forgive people. But it's something else entirely to actually have to put that into practice, to actually have to forgive someone within the context of an intentional Christian community.
Ministry is something we do as a family. Our kids are adventurous and trilingual, and they open a lot of doors for us. Our trips with them to the local park or the beach give us opportunity to meet other families and to show how the love of God transforms every aspect of our lives, including how we raise our kids. We would love it if you would prayerfully consider partnering with us here in Cyprus, and there are lots of different ways that you can do that. You could come join us, whether it's for a few days or weeks, or if you want to come and do 3 months of the training program. There are lots of different ways that we would love to connect you in with the ministries here in Cyprus.
You can also partner with us financially. That might mean giving $15 to provide food through our food bank. That might look like sponsoring one of our students in the Exile program, supporting us as a family, or someone else on our team here.
Most importantly, please partner with us through prayer. We've seen that prayer really does change things, both in our own hearts as we pray and as God shapes our desires to be more like Christ, but also in the world around us, prayer really does have an impact.
So pray for Cyprus. Pray for a deep reconciliation and healing between the Greek Cypriot and Turkish Cypriot communities. Pray for peace and prosperity, for justice, for God's will to be done here. Pray that God's kingdom would come to Cyprus, that as it comes, it would bring about a lasting change in the hearts of everyone who calls this island home.
Hallelujah. You probably recognize Debbie, maybe, if you've been in our church. Debbie was actually born, more or less born, into the church. Her father is a doctor, now retired, and they both gave up a couple of years of their lives to come to the Bible school and stayed. They basically stayed in Horsham. So Debbie has been part of the youth work, the children's work, and through the church. And then she has a mission heart, and she went out to train as part of Frontiers in Wales, and from there went out on the mission field. And she met Steve, and you probably recognize Steve is now English. He's got an American accent. But he was actually born in the mission field because his parents were missionaries in South America. So he was born, he speaks so many languages, I can't keep up with him, but he sometimes speaks in English to me, so I understand. So he speaks American English, and he speaks Spanish, he speaks Turkish, and everywhere he goes, God has gifted him with just the ability to pick up a language because he's called to the mission field. I was talking to them last week when I was driving them down to their next stop on the way, and I was saying, you know, your kids, you saw two of them there. Well, the third one was born last year, so this was a baby, so they couldn't have her in that clip. And I said, when your kids get to school age, what are you going to do? Are you going to come back and then have education either in America or here? He said, no. He said, I survived in the mission field, and I got all my education online, Christian education, and then he went to university and he's trained. So he said, we have the same for us. That's the kind of commitment, desire in a heart of a family who wants to serve the Lord wherever God sends. Because I don't know about you, but I believe if God sends me somewhere, he's going to provide for me there. And then, of course, he can talk to me. I mean, God speaks. He answers prayers. I mean, we've heard that about yesterday, how when we were going out in the streets, we meet for prayer for an hour before we go into the streets of Horsham. We do this Horsham the week before we come here. And it was pouring down with rain, so we prayed for an hour. And as we got out the door, the rain stopped. The clouds came over, and we had prayed specifically, Lord, we want to go out and take the gospel out, and we want to pray for the baptism in Goring. We want to see a ring of blue sky all around them. When we arrived there, it was absolute blue sky, sunshine, beautiful weather. God answers prayers, specific prayers. So if you have something that's going on in your life, I love the way Pastor Victor always starts by praying for one another. That imparts the power of God into our lives. And I believe the spirit of the faith is released in this place every time you get together to believe for the things you need. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, will meet your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I know I've got a limited time, and I must call Connie up here. She tells me off every time. We're like Ant and Dec, but no, we're the wrong generation. We're like Morecambe and Wise, and you can decide which is the wise one, okay, when she speaks. She's the wise one. She's the teacher. I'm a little bit of the apostle, and just... I said to somebody, I believe I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none, because I need the Holy Spirit to be the master over my life. Connie, come and share. She'll talk about the details. We really, like you heard there, Debbie wants us to pray, be people of prayer, and recognize that is so important. So that's what we want to generate in here.
Hallelujah. Good morning, all of you. Lovely to be here. Just like to say that again. Great to be here. could we have the next slide of the actual missionaries? These are, I say some of the people because the thing doesn't fit in the screen anymore because we've got so many people going out and beginning to take part in different missions. But here are some of the faces that you might recognize. And Debbie and Steve are here on this middle picture here. They've just been home, and the lady beneath them, she's from Haiti, she's just been over as well. And we have Matt and Rowan coming for, Matt and Rowan, the second ones along at the top, they're coming for the big church festival. So as these people come along, we are very eager that we should not keep them to ourselves in Horsham. What do you think? Would you like to have some of them come and visit you? I'm sure you would. And all the missionaries are very keen to do that. We've got lots of plans for different things later on in the year, partly to have mission days where we actually invite some of the missionaries back to come and have a tea party in the afternoon where you can gather with your children. The children can learn what the flags are. They can learn where the countries are. We can do some competitions for them and all sorts of things to start just generating in them the bigger picture of the world. Because when you, as you saw from the map at the beginning, we are talking a lot of countries. And all those countries are really our responsibility now to pray for, because our missions people are there and we can't leave them with no prayer, can we? It's not right to do that. And some of them are in very dangerous situations. Some of them, they are really, Debbie and Steve are one of those couples. They have already been thrown out of Turkey once. And because of that, they moved to the north of Cyprus to Turkey. But they're well known by the authorities. And last year, when Debbie and Steve returned from their English visit back to Cyprus, she was detained. And they detained her for hours and hours and hours. And yet, all they're doing, really, is helping the people, doing lots of food distributions, lots of soup runs, lots of work with the children. I mean, how can an organization, how can a country look at you and say, we don't want that? They can't, because they know that there is so much help that comes from the church. So we need to stand with them. We need to make sure that when they go back, that will not happen again. We will not allow it in the spirit, in Jesus' name. And that they will walk straight through and back into their home. They've already lost one home. They actually bought a house in Turkey and they had to give it up because they were thrown out for preaching the gospel. And so someone else now has moved in. They are also missionaries, but the authorities don't know that. So God has continued what he's already started. And, but the price they pay is huge. And thank God that God has given them this Turkish language so that they can actually speak Turkish thoroughly. And the children are fluent already, four-year-olds. They speak fluent Spanish, fluent English, fluent Turkish. Absolutely amazing. And when they talk to me, they talk to me in all three languages, and I don't know what they're saying. So, hallelujah. But we have some wonderful people out there. We have lots of wonderful work out there. And what our plan is to come to you more often as we're invited, to bring a little more information so that you can learn about each of the countries. Some of you may have specific countries on your heart already. How many of you have ever had a dream or a vision about a certain nation, about whether you might go there or anything? Anybody here? Yes, I thought so. There's always people in every congregation that have had that. And my question is, what have you done about it? In some cases, people have actually, you know, gone out on the field and had that experience. But some people are sitting on dreams where they feel, I don't know what to do with it, because nobody has helped them. Well, our job is to help. Our job is to help you find why God gave you the dream in the first place, and what we can do to help you fulfill what God wants for you, which may be to go there, but it might not be. It might be for you to pray for that nation or whatever. So there's so much that's involved in missions. You can't talk about it in 2 minutes. You can't talk about missions with a church, just a church iPad on, if you know what I mean, because it's worldwide and it doesn't fit into the church vision unless you open the church vision to nations and to the worldwide church that God is building all over the world. So all these people have gone out with fear and trepidation. Most of them were Bible school students, either the Bible school in Horsham, or not all, others were in Bible schools in America and various other places, but they have all gone out really with just a call from God to answer that call. And many of them have been there now. I mean, Matt and Rowan have been in their nation now for about more than 11 years, I think. Yeah, something like 11 years. And they are now citizens of Bosnia-Herzegovina. So, you know, God makes them fit where they belong because of what he wants to do through them. And it's extraordinary, really. Anyway, one of the things that we wanted to bring to you is not too much more information about what everybody does, but just for you to have a heart to see the size of what your church, our church, is involved in. And to realize that we carry between us a huge responsibility to pray for these people. Your finances, although some of you may not have known it, are giving towards the work of some of these people. Most of them have got other supporters because they've not had enough money. So they've gone out and they've found their own supporters, which I think is really good when that happens, because it means that they're responsible to come back and share what they're doing with all the different supporters around the country. And people are so blessed when they hear, you know, what their little bit of giving means to another country. But God is after the nations. He's after the nations, isn't he? He loves the nations. This whole book is a book of his love for the nations. The very last chapter of the Bible is about the leaves of the tree being used for the healing of the nations. God never stops talking about the nations. He loves those countries. And what God wants for us is, as we start to pray for our missions people, we get interested in the country. We start finding out more about the country. And then we can start to really have a heart for the country. Maybe some might like to go and visit. As you heard, Debbie and Steve are very open to that. They're very open to having small teams. So are Matt and Rowan. And there are others too who would be very open to having people to visit. Now, it's something that Kingdom Faith haven't really done before, but it's something we are all discussing at the moment, to see whether or not we could do that, whether we could take out small teams from your church to go and visit a particular missionary for maybe, you know, just a long weekend, or maybe it could be 8 days or whatever. Maybe your teenagers might like to go. There would be all sorts of things that could be done. How many of you would be up for something like that? Yeah, massive. It's wonderful. So we don't want to block that, do we? But we want to pray for it so that it's put in place so it can happen. So my passion is for the prayer side of things, for the prayer side of the ministries, because I know the price they pay. I know how difficult it is for some of them to actually stick it out where they are. And I know that for some of them, it's been very, very tough indeed. And sometimes we can't tell you very much because they're in secret places and we're not allowed to share where they are. But the very fact that we have them there is enough for us to be able to pray and pick it up from the Holy Spirit as to how to pray for these different people. So what I would love to suggest, and this is entirely up to your pastors, is that each congregation that we visit around the Church of Kingdom Faith looks after at least one missionary couple, if not more. It's up to you. It depends what your loves are for the different nations in the country. I mean, some of you come from different nations and you probably have a love for that very nation. Others may have had dreams and dreamt of somewhere completely different. We've found that many times. But to start with feeling that you own one of those missionary couples is a wonderful way just to begin. And to start praying for them. And we will provide you, if you so desire, with all the information about them, all the prayer needs that are coming in, so that you know exactly how to pray and you'll know how things are moving in the nation, the difficulties that are being faced. You'll probably find yourself watching television news with a different eye because you'll be listening in for a particular nation and what's happening there, and then wanting to know how does that affect the missionaries and so on. But together, we can form a corporate prayer team across all of our congregations for all the missionaries if everybody plays a part. Is that okay? So one of the things, I mean, sometimes you could say, well, I'm not an intercessor. Everybody says that, don't they? I'm not an intercessor. Well, are you a prayer? That's the point. Do you pray? The answer is, if you do, yes. Then let's start there. Let's start with prayer. Because prayer moves into intercession. Intercession is about taking responsibility for something in prayer consistently until you see what you want to see happen. That's the difference. It's not necessarily the same as praying effective, fervent prayers. They're wonderful. And God's very happy to hear effective, fervent prayers. But when you've prayed, you've done, whereas an intercessor will not stop. The intercessor will keep going and keep going and keep going until they have seen the change that these people are asking for happen. Amen? So let's start at the beginning. Let's start with something simple. And I've chosen a psalm which I'd like you to turn to in your Bible, which is Psalm 20, verse 1 to 5. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but you read from yours. And it's talking, I think we can use this as our prayer to start with for every missionary couple that we have. It doesn't matter who they are. And it says this, in times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry. Imagine the missionaries crying out to God. And we are praying, in times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry. We're in agreement, right across the nations, aren't we? To see things change. It gives us the possibility to help them see change, which is what most of them are looking for. And then it goes on to say, may the name of God, the God of Jacob, keep you from all harm. Yes, some of them are in dangerous positions. May the God of Jacob, we could call him Yeshua or Messiah or Jesus, may he keep you from all harm. Amen? And if we stand together and we pray that, and we go on in that vein all the way through verses 1 to 5, you'll see that tremendous change can come on the mission field for these missionaries. And where we've been praying like this, we've been choosing different scriptures, you know, for a season, and then we go on to another one that God shows us. We have heard from them that things have been absolutely miraculous. For example, in Haiti, you probably have heard just how wicked the situation is in Haiti. It's a terrible, terrible situation where the gangs are actually leading the country. There is no proper government there at all. It's all gang-led. And they're violent people who, if they see somebody's got something more than they have, then they want to break into the property and take it, whatever it might be. And we have a school there called Hope House. It's behind very, very high walls so that, you know, it's difficult for them to be broken into. There are 400 kids in the school. There are some in the university over the other side of the main city, which is a very dangerous place to be. They all have to be fed. And last year, there was a crisis because there was a drought. And nothing was growing. Nothing was growing in the soil. There was hardly any water. And the leaders were desperate for help and for a cry to come up from us to be able to ask God to change things so that the children could have food. And suddenly, out of the blue, somebody offered some food from the Dominican Republic, which is it's right over the top of a mountain, down the other side, and it's walking, it's climbing, it's having to go, you know, on your feet to get it, and you're taking a risk every time you do it, because if the gangs are out there, they'll shoot you if they think you're going to come back with some food. So, and the leader of the who's a, this lovely lady, oh, sorry, she's not up there anymore, but the one that was at the bottom here, she was the one who climbed up the mountain. She climbed all the way up to the top, all the way down to the bottom, and she managed to send a text from the Dominican Republic, because they had a connection which they didn't often have in Haiti. But she managed to get a message back that she was coming with food and that somebody must pick it up in some vehicle or other to take it back to the children. And, you know, the prayer covered the whole journey from start to finish, and the children were fed. And they started to plant again. They started to, you know, the faith level went rose like this, you know, for the kids and for the staff to realize how much God loved them, how much he wanted them to continue with what they were doing, teaching these children about Jesus, teaching them about his faithfulness, how much he loves them, how much he cares for them. And so the children wanted to go out and start planting again. So it meant they had to completely take out all the stones of a huge piece of land. They started planting again when nothing else was growing. And guess what? They had a huge harvest as a result. They've now got honey, which they're producing. They've got lots of bees. And every child is given a spoonful of honey every morning. And since they've been doing that, nobody has been sick. Because they can't afford to be sick. There's no way they can afford sickness, because there would be no medicine and they would not be able to afford the hospitals to be able to take the children out. But one spoonful of honey by faith every morning has kept the children well. Isn't that wonderful? These are the testimonies that we're hearing from our missions people. And I don't want you to be missed out. I want you to hear them, because they're good for us, aren't they? They're good for our faith, so that our faith can also grow and realize just who we serve. Amen? So, hallelujah. So, I leave it with you. I don't know whether you want to come back and say anything, but I leave it with you that if you want to get together and start something regular to pray for the missions, let us know. And we will do everything we can to help you and provide you with all the information. So thank you, Pastor, for inviting us today.
Yeah. It all starts very simply, you know, like in Isaiah. I know time is up. Isaiah chapter 6, when God spoke over Isaiah, he was totally touched by the Holy Spirit, overcome by his own sin and asked to be forgiven and receive that call from the altar. But then he heard the voice of God, and you and I hear the voice of God all the time. Sometimes we're too distracted to listen to what he's saying. But he said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And he said, "Here I am, send me." I mean, do you have it on your heart to become a prayer warrior, a person who will stand in prayer for these nations? Because it'll all start by you saying, "Well, maybe I'm not so strong in prayer, but here I am, Lord, use me." And I'd love to pray for you all and then hand straight back to you, Pastor Victor, to just finish things off. I know our time is up. Just lift up your hand. In fact, stand up together. Let's stand up together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for this wonderful congregation, this body, Lord, that you have chosen. You hand chose every one of them to be here for this day, but for a time such as this, like Esther's, like Mordecai's, there's an anointing on them for the time in which we live, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would enlarge the place of our tent, Lord. Enlarge the capacity of our heart, Lord. Father, because I know we are made in the image and likeness of the Lord himself, Lord. So everything, Jesus, that you carried is available for us to carry in our hearts. So, Father, I thank you for all those in this congregation, separated, set apart, sanctified. I love that scripture in Joshua chapter 3, I think it's verse 5. It says, "Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow God will do wonders." You know, sanctify yourself. He doesn't say, "I will sanctify you." It's a choice we make to be sanctified. Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit to come on this congregation. They are united. They're one with Christ. They're called. They are accepted. They've never been rejected. They are blessed with every spiritual blessing, Lord. Every one of us in this room, Father. But I thank you now, Lord, that you begin to speak to them audibly, Lord, in a way that they would know this is the Lord speaking to them, Father. And Lord, whether it's one or two, 5 or 10, Father, people who are being stirred in their hearts, Lord, to not only stand and pray for our missionaries, Lord, maybe one particular, one nation, whatever it may be, Father, I pray now, Father, Holy Spirit, come afresh on this congregation now. Father, I pray for ears to hear the voice of the Lord so clearly, eyes to be opened to the spiritual realm mightily, Father, that they begin to see things, Lord, that are as impossible in the natural, Father. But Lord, the things that are impossible to man are so possible to you, Lord. You want to do great things. Great things. Lord, that wonderful scripture in Daniel 11, verse 32b, the people who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. I release the power of that word over this congregation right now for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.